it seemed like.
Mr. Tegel. Where's Mr. Tegel? That's T-E-U-L-E-R. Tegel. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as your lead, so just hang on and he will be right with you.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you this afternoon? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Tawanda Steeler, 190122.
Okay, Ms. Steeler. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing today. To my far left, well, you can't see us, but you have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's your board chair, my name, and the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your lead during the hearing this afternoon. Prior to this hearing, you received and signed a notification advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form? Ms. Tito?
Sir?
Prior to this hearing, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form? Ms. Tito?
Mr. Tawanda, can you hear Honorable Mr. Johnson? Can you hear him okay?
Now I can hear you very well. At first I couldn't. It was like, you know, like it was.
Yeah.
It was something way back. Yes, sir, I can hear you perfect now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advises you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
On that form, it notifies you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, Ms. Steele?
I represent myself.
Okay. Also with us conducting the hearing is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office, okay?
Yes, sir.
At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you
swear
firm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, Mr. Stevens, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In the first phase, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision were violated. In the second phase, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one. You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read those allegations to you. I need you to state whether the allegations are either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Okay, say that again.
You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read those allegations to you. I need you to state whether the allegations are either true or false.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The first allegation on your warrant states your violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physical threatening behavior on or about February 1st, 2018 at 5608 Cessna Road in Austin, Texas. Is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay. The next allegation on your warrant states that you violated the Arizona condition of supervision number 3 as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 5608 Ledesma Road in Austin, Texas on or about February 14, 2018 without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown and you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay. Based on that, you said that those two allegations were false. We're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, to give us some additional information, okay?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Allegation number 1.
I can't hear it. Okay.
On March 2nd of 2018, Senior Parole Officer Ginter received the following information from Brian Keller, supervising officer from Texas. The offender, Taylor Tawanda, AC number 190122, was residing with her sister, Patricia Taylor, at 5608 Ledesma Road, Austin, Texas, 78721, when she threatened to kill her with a knife. Patricia filed a police report on February 13th, 2018. Patricia stated that she wishes for the offender to stay away from her, to stop making threats and pulling knives on her. Patricia stated she has video proof of the actions on her phone, which she showed the police. Follow-up, the offender absconded before any actions could be taken on this behavior.
So what's not true about that, miss?
False.
What's not true about it?
None of it's true because I haven't had any contact with Patricia Teal since 2016 when I paroled out and I paroled to my sister's house.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go to allegation number two now.
Yes, sir.
Sir?
Okay, we're going to go to allegation number two.
Allegation number two?
Yes, ma'am. There's two allegations listed on your line.
Oh, Miss Lewis is the head supervisor, and
Hold on one moment. He's going to have to read it, and once he's read it, then you can tell us why it's false. So just hold on.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two. On March 2nd of 2018, Senior Officer Ginter received the following information from Brian Keller, supervising officer from Texas. On February 13th of 2018, the offender's sister, Patricia Taylor, filled out an affidavit stating the offender no longer resided at her approved residence in Austin and was now residing in Killeen, Texas. Officer Keller states the written reporting instructions were left at her last known address in Austin, directing her to report to the Austin 2 District Parole Office. The offender failed to report as directed. The offender's current whereabouts are unknown, thus she is an absconder from supervision.
I never extended my parole period. I reported to the supervisor, Miss Lewis. My address was 6503 Bluff Spring Road. I had reported that to Miss Lewis. Miss Lewis is the head supervisor. Henry Atkins was my parole officer. They transferred my parole officer, me not knowing who my parole officer was. I called the parole board in Austin, Texas, and they stated to me that Mr. Kidd was my parole officer. I could not contact Mr. Kidd. I contacted Miss Lewis, the head supervisor. Mr. Kidd came out there to see me at Travis County Jailhouse, and he had told me that Miss Lewis sent an apology to me because she did not report that address to Mr. Key, which was my parole officer.
Okay, I'm just reading over some information right now. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and then we're going to go into phase two so that we can further discuss these issues, okay? All right, based on the information contained on warrant number 2018W0631 and information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, I am going to move to find that Ms. Tina was the agreement that she did violate the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have lapses about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion was made by myself, seconded by Mrs. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Ms. Taylor, we're going to go on to phase two of your hearing. We're in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start phase two. We'll get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne.
Sir?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, sir. What did you say? I couldn't understand you. It sounds so far back.
Okay, we're going into phase two of the hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two. We'll get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne.
May I say something?
Not yet. Wait until Mr. Osborne gives this information, and then Honorable Mr. Johnson will tell you when you can speak, ma'am. So just hold on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ms. Taylor was released from DOC custody on July 15th of 2016. She's arrested on March 5th of 2018 by the Austin Police Department under its gun warrant status and was returned back to our custody on March 21st of 2018 with 19 gun days with a projected release date of November 1st of 2018. Current conviction, 2004, aggravated assault, 14 years. She's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-3, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 1. There was no SUG or date information noted. She has a moderate disciplinary history with disorderly conduct and sex acts noted. Other arrests, 1985. Sorry, that was this minute. So we'll go 1988, armed robbery, Texas felony conviction, state prison. 1992, murder, second degree, Tennessee felony conviction, state prison. And she has a community risk score of G1B1. And I'm sorry, there are stats and charges attached from Senior Officer Cheryl Ginter, dated Thursday, April 26th of 2018, stating the offender has no pending charges at this time.
Ms. Stewart, when you were released from prison, you were released to reside in 5608 the Desmond Road in Austin, Texas, with your sister Patricia Taylor. Were you still staying there, or what happened?
Okay, sir. Patricia Taylor for number one. Patricia Taylor do not stay at on the Desmond Road. My friend Fowler stay on the Desmond Road who I was staying with. Patricia Taylor, I paroled out here in 2016 to Patricia Taylor. Patricia Taylor stay at 1129 Altium Street. That's Patricia Taylor's address. That's where I had paroled to from 2000 when I left from here in 2016. That's where Patricia Taylor lives. I have not had any contact with Patricia Taylor since 2016. Since I left the Perryville Institution when I paroled out to my sister's house. I haven't had any contact with my sister. Ever since I've been out on parole, sir, my siblings has called my PO, have told numerous lies on me numerous times. My parole officer just tell them stop calling them, period, because I have not had any contact with the police officer. If any kind of way that I did, obviously that Patricia Taylor stated that I did, okay, why was I arrested? She said I did all this here. I haven't had any contact with my sister. The whole problem was, sir, my sister and my daughter, they feud back and forth. And somehow my sister gets mad because I wouldn't take her side over my daughter. She called my phone, said all kinds of bad things. I'm going to call your parole officer. I will have you locked up, B-I-T-C-H, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. She threatened my daughter. Me and my daughter went to Travis County protected order. Me and my daughter had took the phone down there, let the police officer hear the telephone, the message that Patricia Taylor left on my telephone. So they had sworn my sister, they had took the thing over there to her house for her to come to court. And once she got that there, the protective order thing for her to come to court, she retaliated, goes to the parole board, put a falsified affidavit in on me, said that I threatened her. She uses my charges against me because she know I've been locked up for aggravated assault. Patricia Taylor had did all this shit to me out of retaliation because me and my daughter went down and put a protective order on her. And protective order has been served. She thought she could get me locked up, move me out the way, everything would be fine. My daughter went to court and the protective order has been put on my sister towards me and my daughter, so therefore, so she would not have no type of contact with me, period. I haven't had any contact with Patricia Taylor. Them all false allegations. My brother and my siblings been doing this shit to me numerous times since I've been out on parole. My parole officer investigated, which is Mr. Kidd, he investigated the whole situation. But she called Patricia, she said, well, when did Ms. Taylor supposed to crazy. She couldn't even give my parole officer a date because it never happened. My parole officer came to see me that Monday morning, which y'all, the Arizona Department had came to pick me up that Monday afternoon. My parole officer already told me he was going to reinstate me because he know all this shit was BS. Mr. Henry Atkins was my parole officer for a year and a half. That's all my sister and brother have done. Call and call, call and call, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Kidd just become my parole officer, but all this should be in my file because every time this thing happened, my parole officer, I'm pretty sure that he documented them. I never stayed out in Colleen, Texas. And when I left from the dancement, when I moved out of Bluff Springs, Miss Lewis, I contacted her and she was the head supervisor over the parole board. And Miss Lewis, when Mr. Kidd came and see me, Mr. Kidd said Miss Lewis is Mr. Head supervisor had told him that she apologized for not telling him that I called and gave her my new address because I never ever extended on parole. I have never had any contact with the police officer. When the police officer picked me up, I was at work. I was devastated. I did not know why without being locked up. Patricia Tito's address, 1129 Altam Street. I never had any contact with her. Patricia Tito never stayed at my desk address, period. If I pulled a knife on Patricia Tito, okay, she should have took the police. I'm pretty sure that my parole officer would have had the police report if I pulled a knife on her. Sir, I've never had any contact with her. They have used my parole against me the whole time I have been out. They tortured me. They tortured me since I stepped foot out of Arizona Department of Correction. You can look in the file on the parole page, 1129 Alton Street, Unit B, is Patricia Tito's address. She do not stay nowhere at my desk, sir. I never had any contact with my sister. I'm very accountable for my actions. I've been out for a year and 8 months. What would I look like throwing away my freedom? And I've been out a year and 8 months, and I would have been discharged off parole in 2 more months?
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions, Ms. Taylor. Did you get married since you went down to Texas?
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, who did you get married to?
I got married to Tony Mitchell.
Okay, so you got married to Tony Mitchell. Where did you and Tony Mitchell stay?
I stay in Austin, Texas. Tony Mitchell stay out of Killeen, Texas.
Okay, because I got a report here from your
pardon me? My parole officer knew all about me and Mr. Mitchell married. They had no problem. I have 3 kids by Mr. Mitchell.
Okay, all right.
I report everything.
Listen to me. The parole officer, the report that I have here in your progress report, he has your address listed as 5608 Ledesma Road. And that's the address that the parole officer had you stand at. They did not authorize you to live
there. That was a rooming house. My parole officer came out there and seen me. His parole officer came out there and seen him. That was a rooming house.
Okay, well, you no longer have that address. Is that right?
Pardon me?
You no longer live. You moved from that address, 5608.
Yes, sir, I have. And my parole officer was out on Bluff Spring Road, 6503 Bluff Spring Road, Austin, Texas.
Well, according to the report that we have here from the parole officer says you were acting as though you still live at that address, but you were living somewhere else. Now, who's the convicted felon?
No, I was not. I was living at 6503 Ledesma Road, at Bluff Spring Road, and I was living right over there on Ledesma at a rooming house. And Mr. Atkins was my parole officer. Mr. Atkins came out there and seen me.
Okay, well, they said they didn't give you permission to change your address off of Ledesma Road.
Yes, and that was 6503 Bluff Spring Road. Yes, sir, and I reported that to Miss Lewis because my parole officer was not in, which is Mr. Kidd, that I never seen because they just switched my parole officer from Mr. Atkins to Mr. Kidd. Mr. Kidd never contacted me. I had to contact and call the parole board and see who was my parole officer, and when I called, he never was there, so I asked to speak to a supervisor, and I gave the supervisor my new address, 6503 Bluff Spring Road. It's Kenneth Evans, which is my grandfather.
Okay, well, they don't have that address.
Miss Lewis, the parole board over there, and also texted the head supervisor when Mr. Kidd came and see me, said Miss Lewis told him to tell me that she highly apologized because she did not give him my address. I never extended parole. This is what my parole officer, Mr. Kidd, told me when he came to Travis County and seen me. When they picked me up, I was at work. I never am parole, period. Ms. Lewis in Austin, Texas, her head supervisor, that's who I talked to, and gave her my address, 6503 Bluff Spring Road, apartment 1015, Austin, Texas, Kenneth Evans.
Okay, well, that's not the address that they have listed for you.
Well, I don't know why I come, because that's the address, sir, that I gave to Ms. Lewis. She's the supervisor. When Mr. Keyes came out there, he vouched that Ms. Lewis apologized for not giving him the address. That's what I did. I never explained parole.
Okay, so who is Cedric Henry?
Cedric Henry is my daughter's husband. That's my daughter's husband. And this is all this confusion going on with my sister and my daughter. She puts me off in because simple fact, whatever her and my daughter, whatever beef, I don't know, because I was locked up 14 years. My sister called CPS on my daughter, lied, told all kinds of lies on my daughter. She called my phone, she had CPS come out to my daughter's house, and all of this here. Called my phone, left out a threat message. Patricia Teeter is she's a convict, she done been to prison, she got drug charges, she's a compulsive liar. She done called CPS on my daughter numerous times. She done called Cedric probation officer numerous times. She done called them so many times, whereas so his probation officer, she can't even call because in fact he done already warned her about my sister. This is what my sister do every day, try to destroy people's lives.
Okay.
This is what she do.
Okay, well, Miss Taylor, I can only go on the information that we have on the violence.
Yes, sir.
That's requiring you to be violated. And this is from February 13th of 2018, that your last known address was in Austin, Texas, and they left a report from you at that address.
I'm very accountable for my actions. I never had any contact with Patricia too. I never pulled a knife on Patricia too. If I did all this here, she said she got her police report, I'm pretty sure that I would have been arrested.
Okay, well, that's the information that I have is based on the information from the report of the parole officer that you're on parole there while you're in Texas. And they state that you are not staying at the address that they last had for you, nor did they give you permission to move from that address, and according to the affidavit and documentation that they have, that there were some threats that you made to your sister, and based on that information, they violated you because of that. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Some more additional questions coming from the board, Ms. Taylor. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board before we go into discussion as we come up on a conclusion on your hearing?
I'm very accountable for my actions. I didn't do any of that. I have not had no contact with Patricia Teeter. That's because I'm on parole and I got an aggravated charge. My sister used that against me, and he acted with my parole officer, and whatever address I gave my parole, I was staying there. I'm very accountable for my actions. I'm not to spit up and say that I'm guilty of something that I'm not guilty of. I have been out for a year and 8 months, and I have did everything I'm supposed to do on parole. I never missed a parole payment. I never had a dirty UA. None of that. So wherever I told my parole officer I was with Mr. Henry Atkins for a year and 8 months, Mr. Kidd, I have never had a visit with him. He never contacted me, called me, or nothing. I had to call the parole board and find out that he was my parole officer. Mr. Atkins was my parole officer for a year and 8 months and never had a problem with me. When he come to his call visits, I'm at that address. I never exchange him, period.
Okay. The board has no additional questions for you. We're going to go into discussion. While the board is in discussion, Ms. Taylor, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion. However, I need you to remain quiet while the board is in discussion. We will make a determination whether we vote or reinstate you on your community supervision, okay?
Yes, and Patricia Taylor, how could her word be a count? And I never had any type of contact with a police officer. She's a criminal herself. She know how to work the system. She done been down in the system twice. She done been on parole twice.
Okay, well, Ms. Taylor, the board's going to go into discussion. I need you to discuss.
Okay, thank you.
I need you to remain quiet while you're on the phone, okay? This is an interesting case. Ms. Taylor was actually on the road and out of state on the interstate compact. We do have a report in here which states that she failed to obtained permission from parole officer to attend to an address and that a location was unknown. The client no longer resided at the approved address that she was supposed to be at. It also stated that they requested a warrant be issued due to the client's erratic and reckless. Client's sister fears for her life. Her client has threatened to kill her and pull a knife on her with additional information. This is a report that was wrote by supervising officer location, Brian Keeler. This report was wrote on March 2nd of 2018, and it's signed by, Ms. Keeler stated, her parole officer, Brian Keeler. There's also an affidavit that's included inside of the report. That's an affidavit where threats were made to Ms. Teeler's sister. So based on the information contained in warrant number 2018W631, based on information that Ms. Teeler was an absconder from supervision, she was not residing at the address that was approved for her by the PO, I am going to move to revoke Ms. Teeler's community supervision, finding she was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of her supervision, and had an answer was about to lapse into criminal ways or company as she was an absconder, was not living at the resident that was approved by the PO, and that there was an affidavit that there was some threatening behavior and activity going on between her and her sister.
Second.
Agreed.
There's a motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Riley, agreed by Mr. Neal, agreed by Mr. Quinones. So, Ms. Teeler?
Yes.
Okay, the board is voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on November 1st of 2018. At the time that you're released, you won't be on any community supervision or parole at that time. We wish you the best. Hope you can put together a plan so that you can live a productive life and not have any more negative influences or contact with any type of...
Okay, life. I can't hear you very good. So I will be released November 1st, you said?
Yes, ma'am. You will be released on November 1st, 2018.
Okay, that's discharge, maxed out, right?
Yes, at that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision.
So my community supervision will be ended, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for participating.